So, see up close.
I now call this work session, Van County Board of Supervisors, joint work session with constitutional officers to order. We'll begin with the pledge allegiance followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Oh, budget review with the constable, and he wasn't even gonna be first. I almost called him up. I said, I think we're in the Morris room. I was gonna say, put Mr. Hazel first, just so I can do that, okay? Mr. Hazel?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming in to be with us today.
Thank y'all for having all of us. Our budget is about the same as it always is. It's actually a little bit lower this year because we have a change in personnel. It's a cut a little bit of money. And the only thing that I'm requesting over and above what the administrator has recommended is we had a position go from non-exempt to exempt, and that's our victim witness coordinator, and she is does much more than I can even tell you about in this period of time. And I would like to, if I could, edit my explanation of change, which was in there, which talks about adequately reflecting the duties and responsibilities she's been performing for years, because I don't want to give the impression that I'm asking you to pay her for stuff she's already done. Sherry is the first one in the office. I got there at 8:20 the day before yesterday, and she was already there with the lights on at her desk. Before she went exempt, I would physically stand at her door at 5 o'clock and tell her to turn the computer off, and then I'd go to get my coat and get to the front door and come back and say, I said turn the computer off. And she's the old school worker that she's not gonna go until she has to. And it's appropriate that she's exempt because she oversees our paralegal and our administrative assistant. She is in charge of training them, and every piece of paper that comes through there, they're getting much better after a year of getting things done, but she is the one that oversees every step of that process. As Gail would tell you, if she were here, if she was in on the interview process we did for assistant commonwealth attorneys and the other staff. She's been with me for 21 years, and she does all these things. She takes her files home at night when she has court the next day, because if I get a call from an attorney or an email saying that they finally got in touch with their client and he or she's going to be pleading guilty, which happens quite a bit, I have to contact Sherry, and she calls all the witnesses off so that officers don't have to come in and waste overtime or stay on duty for 3 hours to come to court to find out there's been a guilty plea, and witnesses are called off so they can go to work instead of coming down to the courthouse for nothing. So she works over and above, you know, any set of number of hours that are put out there. And I just think, and I don't mean for this to be a shot at anybody, because I really appreciate the fact that Gail saw that position as important as it was and saw that it needs to be exempt. But I just think there's an inherent unfairness taking the position from non-exempt to exempt and not making there be some bit of money added to the salary for that.
And this is my error. It was on our original stuff, and somehow I've got bopped it off there. But I would have marked this and put it in green on mine. It would have been part of the co-ed's proposal, because there's a couple others in the budget process that are like that too. Some of the sheriff's offices are like that, from the schematic change and the change in grades we did earlier on. This one should have been in there too.
So in your budget document, you're not going to have that number on there.
Yeah, you won't have.
We'll ready to ask you which line.
Yeah, we'll update your sheet. It's the one you see on the screen here, line 9. It's a new line 9. We just missed it on there, but it would have been in my budget. And you'll see, like on the sheriff's budget, his are in there for that change that when you approved the schematic a couple months ago. But this one I just missed.
And I will tell you, she never asked to go exempt. It was, as I said, Gail. One of the things that I'm going to miss about Gail is she always appreciated, you know, how much work our office and Sherry did, and I'm sure the new HR person will see that very quickly when she comes in. But Gail pushed for this change for quite a while, and it wasn't, I know, in any way to get more work for less money. I don't think that for a second, but unfortunately when that happens without a pay increase, that's what you get.
Well, she's not eligible for overtime
anymore.
Right.
So she is a little chagrined that I'm down here doing this, because she's not the kind of person that would want to ask or want to know that I'm doing it. But she's been to war for me many times, and I'm more than happy to come down here and ask for this specifically.
She called me this afternoon and wanted to know why it wasn't 8,000. She didn't.
But, she is.
It's appropriate. I just missed it on there, and it would have been included. So.
And that's the 4,000.
That's right. Yes.
That's the pay and benefits. It's the new salary would be 54,027, but with pay and benefits costs, it'd be 4,600.
And that's still a decrease from last year's salary from our, excuse me, total budget for our office. So I just urge you to leave everything else the way it is. And if you could just make that minor adjustment, I think it would bring a lot more fairness to her situation. So we'd appreciate it. And that's the end of my presentation. Unless you all have any questions, I'm happy to answer. And now we'll see what you got to say.
Any questions from the board?
Yeah, but just drop box.
Thank you, sir. Next up is Miss Linda Lynn, her treasurer.
You know she doesn't have a PowerPoint.
Well, look, if I leave my glasses on and look down there and everything's blurry, I can't really see nothing.
Honestly, I'm okay with the budget that we came up with. I got cut $10,000, but I think we're going to be okay there because my staff has jumped up to the line and we have gotten on board with Munis. We've got a little contact there that's a little bit better than we've had in the past. And the $1,500 that's going to be left in there would just be in emergency situations where we would need some, you know, assistance. But there is one thing in there that I'm hoping that you all have not considered taking out, and that's the $6,000 under furniture and fixtures. That's for a drop box. During tax time, we have customers that don't want to get out, you know, or they come after hours and they just want to be able to drop their payments into a secure box. And I talked to Mr. Nichols about it, and we're going to get with Public Works and work out something for convenience for them to be able to put that in an outdoor box that we will have a key secured and pick it up the next day.
They won't be able to move the box.
No.
When Mr. Stevens puts out the contract to rebuild the handicapped access that's in front of the Paul Meyer United Methodist Church, there's a handicap access there that needs to be completely revised because of the street. This would be part of the installation of that on that concrete wall there, so the car could drive up and, you know, they could get out and drop stuff in.
A drive-by drop box.
Yeah.
And that's probably already thought about it, but, you know, George is the old bank building. We got the bank drop box. I didn't know if that was used at all or could be relocated to help Linda's office.
But that would have to come up to the building, and that's the complaint. They cannot make it up there. A lot of them are older.
I wonder if that one could be externally monitored. Is it on the internally monitored?
I don't know.
Yeah. We'll look at it and see, but thanks. I didn't even realize that one was in there. So.
Yeah.
Good idea.
George has had one since
it was a bank.
Jeff's a national.
And this one other thing, a tidbit of information. You asked about collections I saw on the last agenda. Well, for real estate, we have 31 properties that we have in judicial sale, and they are going to be coming up. Some of them are already about ready to be advertised for sale. And we have collected $143,229.51, and the attorney is still currently holding $43,000 and some dollars that will be coming to us. So just want to give you that tidbit. And he's already sent out some more demand letters, so I know the last 2 days we've received $2,600 and then another $3,200. So,
Ms. Leonard, do you know when Mr. Payone started for us?
Oh my gosh, no.
I mean, a long time ago?
No. He hasn't been that long.
Because, no. Every 3 to 5 years we had to look just to get proposals in.
We had another group out of Charlottesville that did it, and then Bosley Crowder did it, and it just kind of laid there and nothing happened.
Yeah, it's good to have an aggressive, somebody aggressive.
But I can get you a copy of that contract if you need.
No, I just want to make sure we look at it. If you need help with getting anything out on that, just let Cindy know so we can coordinate and put it.
The last time, he was the only one to bid on it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you what, I gotta get my hearing checked, because I swear I thought you said, how long has Mr. Payne been here? And somebody said, not long. I was gonna say, oh, wait.
Oh, no. Payone.
Payone.
Okay, that's all I have.
What does Mr. Payone do?
He's the delinquent tax collector. He actually advertises and sells these delinquent parcels at the courthouse.
All right. I would like to say that how pleased I was to receive the first report of this finance group. I know you've been doing it for a year or so, but we're getting 1.5% on approximately $4 million. Mm-hmm. And that amounts to about $60,000 for the county. And it looks like we can do more, too. And I'm really looking forward to us maybe shoving some more money in there and getting.
I was going to say, have you had a chance to transfer some in?
No.
So that's one thing that probably be happening.
Mr. Eric Dahl here spends it pretty good.
We have money left to be transferred.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
We probably need to move 3 or 4 million back over.
Yeah. We'll have our next meeting in March, so we'll do that.
But you can move it independently.
Oh, yeah. No, I just said.
Yeah,
got it. All righty. Thank you very much, ma'am. Next, we have Commissioner Revenue.
I'm sorry. I have to head out, but I just want to thank you all, and I didn't want to cut you off in the middle or walk out in the middle of my presentation, but I appreciate you all taking me first, and thank you, Steve, for putting me at the head of the line.
Now go take your wife to dinner for Valentine's Day.
I wish.
Dog-sitting.
I'm dog-sitting for my daughter and her fiancé.
That's job.
That's right. Gotta keep them happy.
You gotta keep a dog happy.
My father-in-law told me we were all private at home, and he was right.
All right, Mr.
Sure,
Commissioner Revenue.
Yes, sir.
Don't get the timer.
Very briefly.
Yes,
y'all are taking my time.
I did not.
I just, you know, we're all own office advocates. I have a great staff, and I like to make sure I've helped that one. They're all, you know, in the career development program. Three of them are currently certified, which I consider myself one of those. One more will become certified during this fiscal year, 2018. And then the youngest member in 2019, Ms. Felice. So they worked hard on a 3-year certification program, and I think it's very helpful. I'd ask you, thank you. We have completed the office move, you know, from out of the building down to the whole courthouse. And I don't care if you move 50 feet or, you know, 5 miles, it's still the same thing. You got to move it all. I did want to say, you know, we were able to do that, and we kept continuity because it happened to be a real busy time for us, tax relief for the elderly particularly, and business personal property folks. So we kept two people functional in the office, moved down to the courthouse, and once we got two people, working in place, computer, then we closed the rest of them down. And we're able to do the same thing going back. That happened really because... I'll just say Andy Notman was fantastic. You know, the IT staff, Debbie was working with him then, but without them being so good at what they do, if the phones...
She's so good that you fired her from that job, though.
If the phones and the computers don't work, you know, you're dead in the water. But when we moved back, I was really holding my breath because I had a lot of new wiring and a lot of things been replaced, and Andy did that, you know, with maybe some of the help from a new gentleman, Tim. But long story short, just super. Buildings and grounds guys couldn't have been more supportive, and we appreciate it. In the office, y'all know we've been trying to transition to electronic format, and we really have accomplished that almost entirely. The only thing we haven't done is where we have some holdouts who just still prefer to get paper, you know, but our records, everything, land books, they're all digital and they're all available online. It's been a real good transition. I'm only able to do that because I really got a good group of people I work with. The IT work that we previously had to, you know, farm out because we just didn't have a full understanding of it. We've embraced, you know, Munis. Like Linda said, Munis is, we've fully invested in Munis. And we do it all in-house now. We do all of it with the exception of course, the valuation of the cars and trucks and boats and things, which we have to have that third party do that. I would like to say, frankly, thank you to the board and to the county staff. Our level of funding hasn't changed, but just a fraction. It's not a lot of money, but I think we put it to really good use. It's what we need. It's not more, but it's not less. And so y'all been really supportive as far as the operational funding and then the personnel funding. Thank y'all. We'll keep getting the job done, I think, hopefully very well for you with the level of funding that you're able to give us. And then I wanted to say to the county staff, I mentioned some of them, but it's an excellent support. Everything we ask for, we get help-wise, and that's huge. I started to lay it out there, but it's a solid team environment, and that makes Fluvanna better because everybody plays together. I wanted to say thank you for the newly remodeled office. If you haven't been by, please come by. You know, Linda's and mine now have been redone, got the asbestos out, you know, new paint. Looks really good. I wanted to say thank you for that because maybe you don't hear it all the time. And then my last slide, which will wrap me up with just under 4 minutes. It is Valentine's Day. Steve, if you could just bring up that last slide. It is Valentine's Day. More importantly, it's Mr. Sheridan's wife's birthday, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you. That's frankly a little bit.
21.
He must really like his wife.
Everybody likes his wife.
My wife.
Oh, your wife.
My wife's birthday.
Mr. O'Brien, I will tell you.
Oh, I thought it was his.
No. That's why I said suck up.
That's why I'm dressed like this, because I said I got to go get those flowers.
He clearly married.
You have not gotten them yet?
No, ma'am.
Beth doesn't have any.
Hey, I already got them.
Oh, you gave
but I was on the way back, and I told Mr. Nichols, he said, you're not going late, are you? I said, not late getting there. I said, but I do have to put my suit on. He said, just come on in.
Don't let him fool you. He'll go by the funeral home on the way home. Might be.
I'm sorry. Somebody did that, but it was not this Mr. Sheridan.
Is that why they're a little dried out?
I ran to Walmart about 1 o'clock, and they're out there stuffing their truck.
One note, Mr. Chair,
yes, sir.
Mr. Brian, you might want to squeeze some of your colleagues at the lake on the lake board because we still only get just the list of boats at the marina, not the list of boats that are registered at Lake Monticello. Yeah. And while that's what code says they have to provide, there's no reason why they can't legally provide the list of the boats that are registered at Lake Monticello. And so we're missing, you know, potential revenue on that because they only provide the list of the marina ones, I think.
That's correct. And in fact, they don't even tell me which type of boat it is. So, I mean, I know it maybe is a pontoon, but I don't know if it's or what year it was made.
What kind of motors on it?
So it makes a huge difference if it's a 2015. We eventually get that because what I do, Tony, is I have to guess what it is, and then the citizen will eventually contact us when they get the bill and go,
this is not worth
you know, $12,000. I go, well, I didn't know what year it was, so I assumed 2012. She goes, we bought it in 1994 or something.
That's a crazy way to do business.
It's adjustable, but it's really the citizen is frustrated because, and it's the only way I can do it, I just have to put a number in there and they'll let me know if it's too high. But
yeah, I can tell you they just changed their system for recording the boats. They just replaced the marina manager, so they're in a little bit of disarray over there. I don't know. My understanding is the new system is it doesn't even provide some of the details that you just mentioned.
In fairness, what they told me was that they don't have that detail, what brand it is or what year it was made. It'd be like Mr. Dahl saying he has two automobiles, and I just have to guess at what kind they are and what year they were made.
Ferrari.
Or Tesla.
We've asked them for a list of all boats registered to be on the lake, which means anybody that's there as opposed to just at the marina. But Mr. Nichols, right, Coach says all they have to give us is what is literally at the marina.
How many boats have they given you all together?
I think it's just a little under 100. It was last year was 79. This year it's a touch more, but that includes some canoes and kayaks. So
there's a lot more than that.
Not as many.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, do you?
Somewhere in that.
With all the docks and everything.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you assess land that by its zoning, like? B1?
Oh yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. If it's up zoned to B1 or R or I, it's assessed at a higher rate because it is generally more.
Is it at market
valuable? It's pretty close. Like if you're in the Zions Crossroad area, it's now, if you're B1, you're at $100,000 an acre, and that's eye-opening.
But you know, it would trade for much more than that.
Well, that's one nice thing about a 2-year reassessment, and I'm really expecting. In fact, we talked to Pearson in this very room about property that was upzoned, specifically B1 property or B anything property, that we believe that needs to be pretty significant focus on that for this reassessment that we're already, y'all just did the contract for.
Yeah, the reason I ask is there's some local land in Palmyra.
Yes, ma'am.
That I don't believe is assessed at what its fair market value is.
I'd be happy to know which ones, and we can always look.
Okay.
But because that's one of the points of emphasis. I don't think that business property, B1 zone property in Fort Kenyon should be assessed at the same as what's at the lake or the lakes that's at Zion Crossroad.
Right.
There should be, if you start painting with too broad a brush, you know, you can get, I won't say lazy, but slack. Lazy is a good word. You get more for 2 acres of B1 property in Zions Crossroad community than you're going to get in Fort Kenyon or Kenstore or Lake Monticello.
That's understandable.
And I think there should be some graduation. Clearly, Zion areas, anything under 64 corridor ought to be a lot higher than even what's at the lake or certainly what's at Palmyra or Fort Kenyon. And they've gotten a little lax with that broad brush and making everything the same. Pearson won't. I think they're going to take a good hard look at it. I think that's going to be helpful. Because
we used before Pearson?
Blue Ridge.
And they raised, you said they were going out of business.
The gentleman that owns the company's health is bad, and he's indicated he is going to close it up. He's trying to sell it now.
Okay.
But he has been doing it for us, and frankly, our ratio is still coming in at 100%, you know, or right at it, you know, 99.5. But they've been doing it for us since like 1980. Expecting that'll be, I really expect to focus on B1 property specifically across the county.
And yeah, okay.
Well, that's what I've asked them to do anyway.
I understand that you know, the industrial and the B1s and all those are zoned at that. I still struggle with understanding, particularly agricultural land, not in land use, that is in CPA zones being essentially at the same rate as agricultural land throughout the rest of the county. And hopefully maybe with Pearson that can be looked at as well too, because I think, you know, if you have a 10-acre lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know, I understand the first 2 acres are going to be assessed at, you know, the homestead rate.
That's right.
The rest of it, even in agricultural land, in CPA zones, such as Zions Crossroads, are still being assessed at the $4,000 to $4,500 rate.
That's right. And I would maintain that agriculture property in Columbia, Fork Union, you know, pick a locality, Nahor, is probably not as valuable as agricultural land, certainly in that Zions Crossroad planning area. You know, if you're sitting on the 64 side of the county, your property is probably going to be more valuable. And that's another thing I've spoken to Pearson about. Not all agricultural land is, they only broke it down previously based on acreage sizes. You know, anything that was under 20 acres, 20 to 50, 50 to 100, 100 to 200, and then 200 and above. Well, 250 acres at Beaver Dam is probably worth more than 250 acres in Wilmington. I would think that's a, so we'll see. Pearson, I'd be happy to discuss with them anything that the board might feel that they'd like to break a priority.
That might not be a bad idea for a work session is to have the Board of Equalization and the board meet with Pearson in kind of a work session before they get started this year, just to talk a few issues and get their opinions on things. And so it's on the public record, because there are going to be a fair amount of people surprised next year if their A1 land or their B1 land all of a sudden goes up substantially. Part of it would be catch up, because maybe it's been off a little bit, but I think it would be a good idea to have that discussion. Yeah. But
anytime you go to someone new.
Yes, ma'am. New set of eyes, and that, I think it'll be, I really do, I think it'll be good for the county.
Anyway, if you all want to do that sometime, just let me know, and we'll consider that and try to get it into a work session. You know, maybe on the same night when you've got a budget work session come up, or we just take 15 minutes to work on that. So
I don't think that's going to be a 15-minute conversation, though.
Yeah, maybe not, but you've got some open budget work session dates where you don't have anything planned yet. So it's conceivable. Mr. Sheridan would agree with that, if that makes sense.
Well, let me ask you this question. Would anything that we did now affect this year's budget? Because when's it read now? Because the reassessment won't be in effect until
January 1st of 19.
So it would do
second half.
It would have an effect for 6 months. Okay.
What
I'm getting at is we could literally push it off and do it in June or something of that nature if we wanted to.
Yeah, because any dollars you get in that second 6 months won't be budgeted for anyway. It'll be excess fund balance stuff.
Right.
But aren't they doing their administrative reassessments this year, though?
They are.
The problem is you want to talk to them before they start their assessments, right, even though you're not going to get some benefit out of it now until January 1st.
I'm just trying to avoid the meetings that we already have that are totally full.
Well, I can tell you, we specifically spoke about looking with a close eye at upzone property and trying to be sure that it's not broad brushed. You know, there is a delineation between property in one end of the county maybe versus another, and the agricultural is the same way, frankly.
I'd like to have that meeting. I think it's certainly worth it. Have an impact on the bottom line.
So you don't have to have a formal meeting, and then the two supervisors, Mr. Sheridan, can just report back. But it's up to you all. You've got a March 28th open date that we don't have a work session scheduled. That would normally be a budget work session night, and there'll be other nights where it'll be lighter. Where it's just
All of us should be in the meeting. I definitely want to be in the meeting to hear all the discussion and not hear it from someone else.
I think it's pretty important.
I think that could be tied in, reinforced with the new changes that we're making with regard to allowing the changes that we made,
zoning,
the strategic zoning initiative change. So again, I think that for the public to get that information out is good for them. It would make a difference.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Weaver, Ms. Eager.
One of those things we set up.
28th won't work for me. I've got a son in Germany, and we're going to fly over and visit.
Sure. Yeah, we'll pick out a date that's going to be here for
if Space A is available.
When are they going to start doing the reassessments themselves?
They will start reviewing the sales data. They pull, like every assessor does, anything that was sold since January 1st of 17. So the last, they'll start pulling that next month.
Well, here's my thing then. When do we have to have this done by? Do you have any idea?
To meet with them?
Yeah, to have it, make sure that they understand what we're talking about before it happens.
They won't sit down and start making hard decisions probably until July, August, September. I'd say August, first week to August.
Add it to a work session in May or June.
I was going to say May. That's the point I'm getting at, just so we don't. We're going to have enough stuff to do.
We can't tell them how to do the job.
Needs to be done.
No,
be points of emphasis we'd like them to take a look at.
Yeah.
And one of my poll them is B1 zone property, because I think that's worth more in different parts of the county, potentially agriculturally also. So
May okay for the rest of the board?
Mm-hmm.
Great, thanks.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Any other questions for the commissioner? All righty. Now we have the clerk of the circuit court, Ms. Tristana.
Thank you all for allowing us to be here. I don't have a whole lot to say. I'm actually pleased and satisfied with the budget as the county administrator has submitted it, and just would urge you all to approve it as it is. Our budget, I have two budgets. I have the judge's budget, the circuit court judge's budget, as well as the clerk of the court's budget. And both budgets are, the judge's just slightly less than the previous budget. And ours is about $12,000 less than what we had previously had in our FY18 budget. So I would just urge you all, we've gone through these numbers and asked for what is required in order to run our office. I did put a slide up just to kind of give you guys a... So November, I was before you all talking about carryover funds. So while they're pulling that up, I'll just kind of give you all an update as to what's been going on since November. I think I told you in November that our marriage license disaster recovery back scanning of that was about halfway through. So about 120 years out of 240 years we had done. Now we've got about 88 years left, so we've knocked another another chunk off. And we're working backwards, and so as they go backwards, of course, fewer and fewer marriage licenses, but unfortunately the documents are also more fragile and more difficult to work with and take a little bit more scanning time because we have to tweak the lightness and darkness and all of that. So anyway, it's pretty exciting to see that work going on. We've had an audit. Our audit was done in December from July 1 of 2016 through September 30th of 2017. Had a very good audit, no management points or anything, so that was very good, and glad to get the auditor out of our office. those audits seem to take forever. We're still working towards going fileless. That's an ongoing project. Our criminal cases are pretty much all at this point, all new cases that come in and any cases that are pending, those are all on the computer. Unfortunately, we still are producing the files at this point because we don't have judges on board with wanting to get rid of the paper. So, and that goes for the entire circuit. It's not just our judge. It's all of the judges in our circuit. So trying to get them on board. Well, yes, and they just like that paper file in front of them. And I get it. I understand that. And it's always causes nerves. It causes nerves when you don't have that.
You understand. I understand, right, Don? Yeah.
So it's difficult, but, you know, we're moving towards that. So that's sort of some of the ongoing projects. We are in the process. I've gotten two bids and waiting, not bids, but quotes, waiting on one to come in, the third one to come in as far as courtroom microphones and such. I will say it's kind of been a little eye-opening to me because obviously as a clerk of court, I am no audiovisual specialist. and so what I thought was just going to be, oh, we just need new microphones. They come in and say, well, we can replace the microphones, but you realize that the mixer is now 15 years old and the speakers are now, and I'm like, oh, you know.
What are you making with a mixer?
yeah, so anyway, it's that's what's going on. So what I have up here is I just wanted to provide you all with our kind of workload numbers. They've all remained pretty consistent. There's criminal caseload, civil, wills, judgments, deeds, financing statements, fictitious names, marriage licenses, notaries, concealed handgun permits, restitution, and passports. The two areas that have gone up significantly, everything else has pretty much remained the same. The two areas that have gone up significantly in the last year, our criminal cases went up about 104, and our civil cases went up as well. And our passports went up from 1170 to 1,908. So,
word's out about those.
Yes,
you
can
get quick service and fast service. And yeah. They can get out, and yeah. You really have a great reputation there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, we enjoy that we get lots of people from all over the state come
sure
in,
do.
And
wow.
As well as the county, and
I
so it's
coming over here.
Yeah, I mean, we do. Every day we hear, oh yeah, you know, I heard about this, and so they do. And I just asked Mr. Smith for the tourism brochure so we can put those out in our office to make sure that those people that are not from our county are also picking those up and
yes.
Getting the word spread in that way. So. But, you know, even with that added 700 and some passports, you know, my staff has done well. They have picked up the slack and just made it work with what we've got. And we work well together, and we're just able to continue doing what we've done and providing the same good service to the customers. So I would just ask that you please approve our budget as submitted so that we can continue offering that.
How far can your marriage license go back to, though?
1777.
1777, okay.
When the county...
They haven't faded out completely.
No, I mean, they are, and that's what I'm saying, we have to tweak the lightness and darkness, and some we may have to actually ask our records management vendor to help us with the scanning part, because they have much better scanners. They've provided us with a scanner to do this project, but it is a very simple scanner, whereas they have much more high-tech ones. So there may be, and the deputy clerk that's working on it is making notes about each one, if there are ones that need to be a second look taken on them to see if they might need to rescan them in a better format than what we're able to do in-house.
Do you have much research going on in that area? People coming in and looking?
Yes.
I'm just sort of curious.
Yes, and actually this past Saturday, the Historic Society did a African-American genealogy presentation and program all day on Saturday, and I came in and opened the clerk's office from 12 to 4 so that group could come in, and we had about 33 individuals in the records room. That's the most that I've ever seen in there at one time. It was, yeah, all that rain, and I mean, it was busy. But yes, we do, on a daily basis, there's people coming in doing research through all of those records all the time, so it's pretty fascinating. I wish I had the time to just go back there and look through them, but it takes time. It takes a lot of time.
Alrighty, thank you so very much. Any questions? We do appreciate it, and we will wrap up with the Bob King himself. Be nice to him. He's wearing a gun.
Thank you all for having us here today. First of all, I'd start off with a few positive things that are not on there. We did our first distracted driving for kids in the schools. They, under Virginia rules, our resource officer provided that program. The radio project with the schools will be going to in effect really, really soon. The schools will have a radio system to be able to communicate directly with us. Mm-hmm. That'll be rolling into place here real quick. We were just sent the policy over for school look at, and we'll get it into place. So if they have an emergency, they can set off a tone. I should have brought my radio, but anyway, it's like an orange emergency button, and it automatically tells you where you are and everything. You know. And then the dispatchers will pick up and immediately be able to communicate through an encrypted channel, which is very important. I know we got a lot of kickback for that, but you don't want people to know there's something going on in the school. Today in Broward County, they had another school shooting, 20, 50 people injured earlier. Today, so that's very important.
And I'll tell you how good that button works that he's talking about. We were having a call somewhere, I forget, Frankie and I were getting in the truck, and evidently when Frankie was putting his gear on, he hit the orange button by accident. I mean, literally, it was before we got there. They come over the radio and say, we have an emergency button with Chief 31, and I literally thought either he was in the wreck or, you know, he'd hit the ground having a heart attack or something. But I got up there and go, what are you talking about? What's wrong with him?
Not only that, but I don't know if it's school safe radios, but with ours, you can actually hear a conversation. So if there's a struggle going on or whatever, that's already going through
now,
the mics.
Now, who has the bike back to school?
Schools, they'll have so. I'll give you a complete update as soon as they approve everything.
Right.
But there'll be one at certain schools, administrators, I'm sure. I don't know how they're
how
not.
It
yes,
will
ma'am.
Be.
But it's called school safe radios.
Right.
And we look forward to that. I'd like to thank Wayne's not here today. He and his staff have a wonderful remodel they're doing at the office, the lower lot, our new evidence shed, and everything. So we're meeting accreditation standards, and they've done a great job. Thank you all for letting us roll over another year. This camera project, finally, by the end of this month, we'll have our new cameras in the office. As everything will be recorded. A lot of people didn't know that everything in our office was not recorded. And for years, I thought it was going to the server, but it wasn't. So, and in the cell areas, there'll be an audio portion in the cell section too, where when people are talking and stuff. So,
and do you let the cell people know it's in there?
Yes, we got signs.
I asked you that.
We have signs up now that there are cameras in place, even in the vehicles. they're in the patrol cars, there are cameras, they're right. recording as well as audio.
Good.
And that's working out real well. The 21st century budgeting for our public safety and law enforcement basically follows the what we've been doing for the last few years after the Obama administration came out. You know, we work hard at building trust and legitimacy in our community, policy and oversights. We do, with building and trust and legitimacy, Jeff and I, we put on forums throughout the community. Policy oversight, we are going through another rewrite of our policies prior to accreditation this year. Technology and social media, so important, and y'all have been very generous with our new radio system, as well as our CAD system. We are definitely jumping into the 21st century. That what we will be able to do with that is phenomenal. The social media has helped us out a great deal. I think the last runaway young lady, we had over 48,000 people that were reached by that. Community policing crime reduction, that's what we continue to do. Our education and training is, of course, there's always that training and education curve in law enforcement. Just like with the new laws that will come out in July 1, you know, it's almost like you're starting over, relearning some and learning the new ones, but you're constantly trying to make your job safer and easier. Officer wellness, of course, we encourage everybody to participate in some off-duty activities. Our public safety mission, provide effective, efficient law enforcement and serve the citizens and visitors of Flint County. And we put this in there because we, you know, it's part of what Jason's trying to do. We're trying to make our community known as a safe place to be. So an example there, the Fluvanna Tourism Brochure quotes, we respect our rural heritage, maintain a pace of life that is comfortable. We value families, traditions, while welcoming newcomers. And the next Fluvanna County is constantly referred to as a great place to live, learn, work, and play. And we would like to add safe to that with our crime stats. However, they have ticked up a little bit in some areas, but the solvable rates are very good. As you saw, in Tracy's court alone, there was 104 cases more over last year. So that shows you how things are progressing. Our purpose and services, consumer protection, consumer report, some examples of the public safety strategies are exactly what we've been talking about. We did the community forums. We're also always updating our policies. The programs and projects we've done in the community, our VIPS program has grown considerably. Our triad, we've got a wonderful 21st at the lake. If anybody can make that, we're going to put on a triad presentation for the folks over there. The CompStat data is part of the Uniform Crime Reporting, which I'll get to in a second. The preventative patrols is part of that community policing aspect of it. The equipment we have now is taking a lot of work off of our plate. It's putting a lot of work on the Commonwealth. It's putting a lot of work on our supervisors to watch all that footage. But when people call in and make complaints, we're able to sit down with them and say, here, watch this video. And it really answers a lot of questions. Rapid response due to our communication system that we have now that works really well has increased our intelligence. Our historical data with the new CAD system is going to be phenomenal to help us track trends in crime so we can target certain areas in the community where we're having more crime than others, as well as the criminal investigations portion with the cell phone extraction data. And all the things y'all approved for the carryover where Sergeant Hurd went to that school, it is coming back tenfold to us. Just the other day, he's gotten so many cases that he's actually giving them back to the deputies and saying, you're going to have to work this one. Here is all the cell phone data. Here are the photographs. Here are the pictures of the drugs. Here are them videos of them smoking it. Here's videos of them talking about how they package and sell it. It's wonderful technology, and And if we didn't have that in our office, we would be waiting this time next year to get back, where these people would be prosecuted here in the next week or two. We'd be sitting here, sitting on this case and the next one and the next one and the next one, waiting to get that information back. So thank you all for that. It's really helped us a great deal. Our biggest challenge in the future, as well as in every law enforcement agency, is going to be staffing. Next, please. Here's a little bit of the calls for service. You see in 17, we tick back up as far as calls for service altogether, and the emergency calls have trickled up a little bit too, and that includes fire and rescue. Okay. Here are the total incidents we responded to. We don't have 17s complete yet, but for 16, you can see that it kind of ticked up a little bit, and the difference from 2010. Here's a little workload. There's our arrests. You'll see the different colors represent the different years. But I'll give you a good example on the arrests. They've kind of ticked up, and that's our solvability on these crimes due to the technology and the things that we have. When we do get on somebody like the bank robber, all those cases that these investigators and everybody have been working on, they are learning. That's an education system for them, and as that goes along, we're going to be able to solve more crimes. Traffic summons, you can see the big increase there. They have written a tremendous amount of tickets, I look at every ticket that's written, and if somebody writes a ticket that I don't think was very good, I'll let them know about it. I prefer, you know, no less than 12 miles over the speed limit. Most of the time, we give them 15, except in the school zone. So we the other day, right here on the
right. Is a public safety future? Please don't public safety.
He said 2 miles over the speed limit.
This is good to know from a personal perspective.
Yeah. Just here on 15 the other day, we got somebody for 74 miles an hour coming down 15.
Oh, my God.
So that was just before the fire station.
Mr. Sheriff had to get his flowers.
Exactly. You see the animal control calls, and I think they're going down because we have an officer working every day, 7 days a week, and they're able to follow through on those calls, and they haven't fallen to the side, and then, oh, wait a minute, you get that call back again in a couple weeks. They're following through with their calls, so those should go down. The number will stay consistent, but we're not getting the duplicate things from the
but
same.
But if you all would get rid of my Canadian geese, I wouldn't have to call you.
Well, I had a call. Somebody called me Saturday night.
I've got a call. I don't call.
I needed to know how to run that.
Paul used to come run them out. Paul was my man. He'd come out there and run them away.
Didn't he come over to my place?
You can get a kill permit, but I just shoot a little bird shot over, and then when it rains down on them, they don't like it, and they leave. So you do that about 3 times, then we'll come back.
Okay, I'll call you.
Okay, they're
in my yard right
now. You don't let it rain
down
on them.
Yeah.
Not down on them.
Keep up in the air and let it rain down. Next, please. Civil process, you're going to see an uptick. What were there, about 100, roughly 80 or so more cases in civil court. But what we've also done is eliminated the number of people that put those papers in, and taking the person that does that and had extra training with them, and we weren't getting the credit for the papers like we should have, but now you're gonna see a true number, but the cases themselves are also ticking up in the civil area. There's your uniform crime report. These are the crimes that are reported, and they eventually go to the FBI. The state does a thing that they'll send out the data as well as the FBI, and they track all that. You see the juveniles, the minors, a very small blip in 2016 have gone down some where the adults are a little bit on the rise.
Okay. Why would that be? Do you have any idea why it would be down for juveniles?
For juveniles?
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of that is the way the school is interacting with things and handling the situations over there and the resource officers, everything's, I think, is on a really good playing field. The thing that really bothers me the most are the number of runaways we've had, and I've had to answer a lot of parents are going, well, why are these girls running away? I said, because they got cell phones and the internet, and they're communicating with people, and they're making friends and friends, you know, and unfortunately, luckily we live in a fairly good community here, but, you know, in some cities that could go south very fast, and I hope that doesn't ever happen here, but if people continue to meet people that they don't know, eventually something not going to happen.
These days of going out and hitchhiking down the road, right, when you want to go somewhere.
And most of them I've said, look, it comes down to a 14-year-old, your parents need to be monitoring what you're doing.
What's UCRA and UCRB?
The those are the different types of crimes that are reported. Yeah, and they're your major, your rapes, your robberies, your murders, you know, those type of crimes. Now, we also track other things that aren't reported to them. And with our new system, we're going to create a lot more categories so we can give you better data of what we're really doing with our time.
And what's the difference between A and B?
The severity and the types of crimes. So personal, I think one's person's crime, one's property crimes, something like that. It's been a while since I messed with those two, but the information automatically flows out of our CAD system to the state police. It automatically goes to the FBI, as well as officer incidents where officers are use of force and stuff. All that's automatic flow from what we don't have to say, oh yeah, we forgot to send that. It's an automatic thing. Yes. This is our biggest concern for this year. Those are vehicles that will never run again unless somebody spends a whole lot of money. Look at them. The deputies keep them in great shape. The one on the rollback has a completely blown engine. That one was going to Shoals to be a scavenger vehicle. The county can get maybe what, $400 to have that crushed, and the bumper that came off the front of that one saved us more than that. So we're using those for spare parts instead of going and buying parts. Took an alternator off of that other one the other day, and it's part of that to try to keep the cost of the repairs down. The tow bills have really got in. You know, we were talking about that the other day, that a tow anywhere around here is $150. If you go the car that was used in the robbery, bank robbery, we towed from. That was in Goochland. That was $350.
Yeah. Sure. I have one question. These vehicles that go to Shoals that get stripped out, do they eventually end up down at the boneyard?
They're going to wind up at the boneyard. Okay. Once they're ready to be, you know, sold for scrap.
Okay.
You know, that whatever.
We sell them for parts or sell them for scrap or whatever it is, but yeah. Usually someone has it.
The bad thing, remember years ago, when we sold the first Hemi, the V8, yep. We got $6,000 yep. back on that car. Yep. But these are all the 2011s with the six cylinders that are not any good. Nobody wants that six cylinder beat.
Maybe we'll just put a badge on them and sell it.
Yeah, take them off. And basically the mileage on the vehicles, I think I have seven that are well over 100,000 miles. The one that's still in service and investigation is like 183. Our fleet is aged with time. We've followed the county's policy. We've actually every year almost at least got one more vehicle out because we stole parts from the old cars, and we didn't get this or we didn't get that. But we've made it work, and we'll continue to make it work. So, but vehicles are very important as far as our budgeting this year. The other thing, if you would jump to my budget, please. On the budget, there's very little increase from last year. The numbers are bigger because Eric and them have combined animal control and the sheriff, where it was two separate budgets at one time. You'll see that the amount on the baseline and then under the county administrators, the $50,952, that's the cost plus benefits for the pay band adjustments that y'all made for deputies and put them in the different pay grades. That will cover that in the budget. The $107,000 you see there, That will be for the two deputies that the comm board says that we need in our court system because of the increased load of the courts. But that's no guarantee they're going to give them to us. If they don't give them to us, we're not going to ask you to offset the funding on that. And in on the note as far as the pay band adjustments, I will be coming back to you to ask if we can actually implement that maybe in April. I think I'll have enough vacancy savings from my deployed veteran that was overseas to be able to put that into place and cover 17. So, but other than that, if you would go to the 911 budget, that I'm sorry, but as far as the 50,000 and the for the two deputies, should we get it? There is only a $4,000, a little bit over $4,000 increase in the entire budget.
That's the ones that the state office. Because if we get them, they'll cover the right vast majority.
There'll be an offset because the state does.
So the offset is on the revenue side of the sheet that we just don't see right now.
That number will just come down. We'll adjust it, but the net would be $4,000.
Okay.
And there is a couple things in to increase that, the comm board funding of deputies again this year. There are several things to try to bump that up that might come back and help in the long run too. We'll see how all that plays out. 911 budget, we don't have any issues there. The only one Mike and I discussed on that is to make sure, remember Eric, when we had that meeting, that we had the right employees, because before that there were a couple of that had gone, and make just as long as the right people in there, if that's the numbers for them, then that's great.
They are, yeah. They're the correct ones.
Okay,
yeah.
Super. That would be the only issue that we had there.
That's the new list.
Yeah.
Yep. Super. Any questions?
Any questions from anyone? Thank you so much, sir. We do appreciate it.
Oh, I have one question for you. Sorry. And sort of unrelated, but I'm sure you're aware the lake has this new policy where they're going to fine members there. Do we currently get any real revenue from lake police activities there?
They ride a Virginia uniform summons, mm-hmm. and they go to court, yes.
And
that's why you've seen the revenue uptick, because we've written more summonses. And that's why I sent you all that about the court fees. There's mm-hmm. that bill's in there again. It would actually be, you all would be able to move that, increase it by as much as $20, which would double that, the revenue in that line.
Right, but does the, so is there
so part of that fine, yes sir, does come back to the county.
Oh, so the fine, it'll still come back?
There's
to
a court, how much of that?
Only if it's a ticket.
Only
if it's written on a Virginia uniform.
Yeah, but they're doing away with Virginia uniform summons. I don't know what they have for inside the lake.
So the new policy that they've announced is basically if you're under 15 miles an hour.
Well, they can't write that on a Virginia uniform summons.
No, they don't. They won't. They do it as a fine. LMLA fine.
But right now, presumably, on average, you don't write a ticket if it's under 15.
Right. You,
wait, so on average, have you been getting tickets from the lake that are under 15?
You know, I don't see their tickets. Their tickets go straight over to general district.
But do we get money?
So you don't really expect any impact on that?
Not from them.
Sure we do.
If they write it on a Virginia summons, yes.
Right.
Summons will come back to the county.
Sure.
I don't know the percentage or anything, but that's a general, like the numbers that you saw on our budget, that's what we generated from that court last year in fines and stuff.
Right, no, I understand that, but you don't have a breakdown.
But as far as what's generated by the sheriff's office, if you live in the lake and they write you whatever, I don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But what if they write you something? No, the county will see nothing of that.
Right. And do you have any breakdown as to the number of fines or tickets written by lake police versus office police?
I don't. Like I say, those tickets go straight to general district.
I see.
I can tell you how many tickets we've written.
Sure.
There was a little over 800. Okay. I think. 12 or something like that, but
I would think that'd be public record.
I would think so.
If we want to know, we should be able to know what jurisdiction tickets. It's trending for public record.
I don't think they write a whole lot. I mean, to be honest,
I don't think they do.
Yeah,
you see them in my office every now and then because they have to come process if they arrest somebody and stuff. And
right, but that's
unless it's in the evening or at night when I'm not there.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as the, I've heard about what they're doing, but I, with the legality or anything, I have, doesn't have anything to do with it.
I just didn't know if there was going to be a financial.
No, I can't see that. There would be no revenue generated for the county unless it's written on the Virginia Uniform Standards.
Jeff says it's illegal.
It is illegal. How can, they have to offer them a day and they can't do that.
So, but
it's just a weird thing.
Yeah, there are a couple other issues.
It's not a summons, it's a deal with. Fine. You pay it, it disappears.
So, any other questions from anybody?
What do you think?
All righty, thank you very much, sir. And thank all y'all for coming in.
I got three things for you, for your wrap up. This little sheet there, and you can see it on the screen up here behind me too. We've talked before about CVEC potentially coming into Fluvanna County and doing a couple kind of quote town hall sessions to talk about their broadband proposal. And they're available on March 6th and March 8th. We do one in the Kent Store area and one in Scottsville area at the Antioch Baptist Church, because it'd be kind of widespread and bigger places to use. If you're interested in that, Jason Smith will go ahead and set that up and then get these flyers out to all around the county and get them out to churches and various things. Is that what you're interested in? See if I can certainly interest in doing that. Whoever's willing to support that.
I can't be there on the 8th, but I can be there on the 6th.
Okay.
I can't be there on either of those dates.
Okay.
All right.
Now, what will we accomplish on this, basically? Just information?
Information to the citizens about CVEC's proposal, because individuals will have questions about cost, coverage, well, what if the county doesn't participate, et cetera, et cetera. We want to hear some of those answers, too.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be negotiating with them, you know, coming up if the board decides to go forward with any kind of negotiation. But we want to at least have a way to inform the public, because it's been in the daily progress about the Albemarle dollars and the Albemarle project. We've not had much coverage here yet about it, but you've got a review team you've put together that we are meeting. We meet again tomorrow, but I want to make sure that they talk to the public about their project rather than us trying to interpret their project, if you're interested in having that happen.
What time is the meeting tomorrow?
Four, three, I believe, but I'll tell you just a second, Ms. Eve.
Three,
I think, yes, ma'am. Correct.
That's it.
I need some head nods.
Yeah. Okay. No, we already have all said.
Okay, good. Second thing is the strategic initiatives that are in front of you. That's the five pager. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that you put together at the strategic planning offsite. Staff has chopped those and updated some now. It'll be on your agenda for February 21st, next week. I'll pick one of those dates. But please look at it over the next week, and then next week, if you've got any changes or comments or updates to it, we'll go ahead and do those updates. But we want to get this adopted by the board, and then we can start, well, you can see there's already a lot of stuff we're working on there. But it needs to be formally adopted by the board. So it'll be on your agenda for next week. And then two other pieces of information that are in front of you. County staff and I are meeting with the schools next week to talk about health insurance options for schools and county. This big sheet is the master sheet that talks about what plans we have versus what plans the school have. The yellow column is the total cost of that insurance. The blue column is what the employee pays. The red columns are what are the orange columns. Red column is what the pink column is what the county pays. So you can go across and kind of look at the various things.
Good.
So if they have a 500 plan and we have a 500 plan, mm-hmm. you can see what the county cost is and the employee
right.
cost. So we're going to take a look at this with Pierce Group, our benefits provider, and kind of cost out some various things to see if it makes sense for the county and the schools to be together. You've heard my opinion lots of times before. I think it's silly for a county of our size to have these silos out here for things like benefits. We should just be all the same. A Fluvanna County employee is a Fluvanna County employee, whether you're government side or school side, and the benefits package ought to be commensurate all the way across. And somebody that's a school teacher shouldn't pay more for their family plan than Kelly or I would for our family plan. But this may not be the right year to switch, and it may not be the right time, the right type of insurance to switch to, although their Anthem Local Choice is apparently going up about 8%. That's more than $300,000. we might find that you can do some adjustments to this, get the county contributions equal for all county employees, and still be not catastrophically more expensive or less expensive one way or the other. Might be able to get it matched up. But our first meeting with the schools is next week. The simpler sheet of that is that small one,
yeah.
And it just shows just a quick rundown of numbers. The greens are the ones where the lowest cost is. And you can see most of the greens are in the county column as far as impact on the employees. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where we end up.
But one thing, this is a comparison of current rates too.
Right.
So the schools are anticipating an 8% increase, but that's not reflected in that sheet. It's comparing apples to apples, what we know right now. Right.
And we don't know if ours is going. We think a little increase or steady state, but let's say it went up 3 or 4 or 5%. We don't know for sure yet, so we didn't put their 8% on there either.
Mm-hmm. And the schools have vision and dental too?
Yeah, they have Anthem, the local choice, which is what we had for the last 3 years. My criticism of Anthem, the local choice, is you don't have any choice. You get a high deductible plan and two other plans, and when you take any one of those, it includes vision and dental and the discussion, and you have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. With the Cigna plan, or other companies too, but Cigna plan, you can choose family dental, single vision, single person medical, or any combination thereof. You don't have to choose any of it. You can choose all three. You can choose all three family. You can choose one only this. You can choose one that. That's a greater level of choice for the same benefits levels and the same copays and things like that. Now, there is a significant difference between the schools and us. They offer a high deductible. We do too. Schools also offer a 500 plan, 500 deductible, and a 1,000 deductible. We offer a 250 and a 500. When we went to the 500 and 1,000 several years ago, lots of people complained, and the following year we went back to the 250 and the 500. Mm-hmm. The 1,000 is a lot cheaper for coming out of your paycheck, but there's also some higher costs when it comes to paying your copays and the annual deductibles. Mm-hmm. I don't know which is best. There are merits to all three of those, but again, my strong opinion, and we'll see how it works out, my strong opinion is that it just doesn't make sense for us, the schools and the county, to be separately negotiating health plans. We ought to be all together and use the power of the numbers we have. But we'll see. Some of the school board members and county staff and school staff will be meeting next Tuesday, along with Gail and our new HR manager, Ms. Rice. And so we'll see how that goes, and it'll be an ongoing discussion. This is the perfect time to do it, though, because it's the time when you're going to make a change or stay. So we just need to see those rates, meet all together. We'll come back to this more, but I wanted you to see the numbers so you can look at them yourself too.
All right, thank you very much.
Very good.
I don't believe we have any budget discussions right now.
Unless you want to have one.
I don't believe we have any budget discussions right now. No closed meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
We've got about six things on the. No, I'm just.
I move that we adjourn to late.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Hang on.
Second.
All right. Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
Have a nice, love evening. Oh.